going to continue on through the book of 1 John. So are you guys enjoying this? I hope so. It's a challenging book. Sometimes I think when you read the book of 1 John, you're like, oh yes, love. And there is a lot of love, but there's also some really challenging pieces, right, too, when it comes to hate and evil and false teaching and the Antichrist and all kinds of fun stuff. So as things would go, the last two times that I've spoken, I've gotten really, really difficult passages. So I don't know how that worked out, but that's the way it is in the rotation. So last time when I spoke, it was all about the Antichrist, and there's kind of more Antichrist and false prophets and false teaching that we get to talk about today. So, I really don't know the appropriate response, but we're doing it because it's next in line as we read through the scripture. And I think one of the things that this series is teaching us is sometimes when it comes to teaching and preaching and even the way we read our Bible, sometimes we can skip around, right? On like, oh, I think I'll read about this or I think I'll read about that. But one thing I think this is teaching us as a church is we're just reading the Bible together, right? And we're going kind of verse by verse, and this is what's next. And it's teaching us, I think it's teaching us to study the Bible well, you know, and to not just sort of choose whichever passage that we think would be appropriate for the moment. So I'm titling this message today, More Than a Test. More Than a Test. I don't know about you, but some people are like really good test takers, and some people are not good test takers. I'm not a great test taker. I remember in college once I was explaining to one of my classmates, who's a good buddy of mine. It was a class on biblical hermeneutics and how to interpret the Bible and all this fun stuff. And I knew what I was talking about, man. Like, I was, like, really into this, and I was reading, and I was not a particularly good student in high school or college. I was a late bloomer to this whole thing of studying. But I remember sitting on his dorm floor, or, you know, we're just laying down on our faces, because I don't know why we had furniture, but that's what you do in college. You lay on the floor, I guess. And we were studying, and I was explaining all these, like, nuances to him, and so we go to take the test the next day. I got like a low B and he got like a 98. And I'm like, man, that doesn't seem right. You know, I was like explaining it, but I'm just not a great test taker. And he's a very good test taker. And I remember going to him and he's like patting me on the back and gives me this really courteous, it's okay, you know, sort of thing. And so Shane, if you're listening in, thank you. Yeah, test taking. You know, and what we're dealing with today in this passage is we're encouraged, not just encouraged, but we're commanded to test the spirits, in terms of discerning the spirits and all of that. And so we're gonna be looking at that, about, you know, testing the spirits. So test is a funny thing because sometimes we can look at the word test as if, you know, this is just a test. Remember the 80s and 90s? Right? This is a test. It's only a test. And then there was this god awful emergency sound like on your TV. So you remember this, right? This is only a test, right? Well, this is not only a test that we're talking about today. It's more than a test, because it really has to do with the lifeblood of the church, and it has to do with the integrity of the gospel message itself that we're talking about. So we are encouraged to and commanded to test the spirits, but it's more than a test. One more story before we jump in. When Amos, my son, was first born, we were living in Nepal, and he was tiny, tiny, and we took him to this embassy to get his passport for the first time. So it's really a lot of fun snapping a passport picture when a kid is like 2 months old or 3 months old, head bobbing and everything else. And so we were doing all that, and we go to this embassy, and all of a sudden, like these men with machine guns drawn, they started yelling and told everybody to get down and to lay prostrate on the floor and put your head behind our head. And we were instructed to take Amos, and Charity was instructed to put him kind of underneath her stomach while she did that. And then after they did all that, and I about, you know, went number two in my pants, they said, this is just a test. this is only a test. And I did not believe them. I didn't think it was only a test. I thought it was for real, you know, because they just scared the heck out of me. You know, I was laying on the floor. I mean, there was lots of shouting. And even, I mean, we were the only Americans that I can remember in there. There were people from other countries and definitely from Nepal. And it was just sort of frightening. And so, you know, this is more than a test, right, is what we're talking about. So I'm going to have Beth, if you would come up and read this. We're going to be, so if you guys can flip to chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 of 1 John.
1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
All right. So we're going to look at a few different things here. Okay, so we're just going to jump right in here. So we have been learning over these weeks that there were some serious false teachings going on in during this time period. And again, we don't know exactly which particular church that this letter was written to. It could have been a group of churches. But we do know that there was a distinct problem. And this distinct problem had to do with not accepting and denying that Jesus was human, right? That Jesus had come in the flesh. And there was a lot of worship of, like, spirit alone, right? And so you can see that theme happening again and again. It just keeps coming up and it keeps coming up because John, the writer of this book, is trying to address that problem. And it comes up again here. All right. So again, we have these, you know, these Gnostics. We've been talking about that, but these Gnostics who believed this certain thing. And so he's addressing them. And this is the second time now that he either calls them Antichrist or they have the spirit of Antichrist. So it's not like a mild accusation. It's an accusation saying that these people who are teaching this are denying or these, like, instead of Christ, or these against Christ people are, you know, they're denying that Jesus had come in the flesh. So a couple things. If you look at verse 1 there, it talks about testing the spirits, right? Because every spirit is not from God. Right, and they're talking about these false teachers, and, you know, namely the Gnostics that I just referenced. And so it's an interesting thing in the culture that we're living in. We are often told, reminded daily, not to judge, right? It's not judge. We don't want to be judgmental. We don't want to be, you know, you shouldn't judge, or Christians are too judgy. That's kind of a term that I feel like people throw around as well. I put a Y on the end, right? You're so judgy. But we're actually commanded to judge in several places throughout Scripture, particularly when it comes to the household of God. And so there's this testing, right, that we are actually commanded to do, right, to test the spirits, because this teaching and these practices, remember I shared a few weeks ago, it was coming from people within the church, right? We don't know that they were necessarily believers, but they were people within the church that were dissuading others within that church, these beloved that John is talking about, to follow this false teaching, right? And so there's this command here to test the spirits, because not everyone is from God, and not every spirit is from God. Right? And so we have to distinguish You know, when we're talking about judging, we're not, you know, this verse is not talking about, you know, some of the stuff in our culture where like, oh, don't judge me because of, you know, somebody, for example, you know, somebody that doesn't know the Lord and they're living in sin and they're, you know, they're having, you know, that's just a lifestyle that they're in and they have no affiliation with Christianity. They have no sort of acknowledgement of Christ. And then we kind of expect them to live like a holy life, right? That's kind of a foolish judgment to make. They have not ever said that they are a believer or a Christ follower. So in that case, right, we're going to welcome. We're going to love them. We're going to, you know, speak the truth of God to them. And in time, as I like to say, the coin drops in the slot, so to speak, you know, and the Lord does this renewing of their heart and mind, this, you know, theological language, but regeneration begins to take place. Then, of course, some judgment will need to happen, right? Because there's conviction of sin there. And so, let's not confuse people who are, you know, outside of the church, who are not following the Lord versus those who are within the household of God. And I think that's an important distinction to make. So secondly, you know, we're encouraged to, commanded to test the spirits. So what exactly is kind of the litmus test of how we go about doing that, right? And so there's two keys here that I think that we have, two words that I want to highlight. One is the word confess, all right? You can say that if you want, confess. And then the second word is listen, all right? How many times a day do I tell Amos to listen? Sorry, that was a side note. Okay, so confess and listen. So if we think about confession, right, this doesn't really help us out a great deal because if we're like, oh, you know, in order to test the spirits and, you know, to know if the spirit is from God or not, well, they just need to confess that Jesus came in the flesh or that Jesus was real or that Jesus is Lord. Well, there's a lot of people who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord, but don't actually live that or even believe it, right? They just confess it. Like, I could go out here on the street and I could go to these, you know, townhomes around here, and I guarantee you if I paid somebody enough, they would come in this church and they would confess that Jesus is Lord, right? So it's not just about saying stuff, right? We got to be really careful on this text. Like, well, if you just say the right things, then all of a sudden, you know, you're not, you know, you're definitely from God, right? So I think if you back up in chapter 1, and some of you can quote this verse, but if you back it up into chapter 1 of 1 John, anybody know that from memory, 1 John 1:9? Does anybody know that? Yeah, can we say it aloud? Uh-huh. Confess. Yeah. Yeah, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and from all unrighteousness. Very good job, right? So confessing of what? Confession of sin, right? So that's a little different. I mean, that I think if we read it in that context, is the same word used there as used here, then there is a sincerity that is involved, right? Because it's a turning away from sin, right? It's a turning away from this old life and turning to God. And so I would like, if I could, maybe it's in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified adds lots of words, but I didn't actually look it up in the Amplified. But if someone, like, sincerely confesses, right, confesses that Jesus came in the flesh. So that is one kind of litmus test. Is this spirit, and meaning this person, probably, right, this person who is claiming to be from God, is that spirit within them? Are they confessing, right, sincerely, that Jesus is the Lord? Excuse me, that Jesus has come in the flesh. Lots to say here, because we're dealing with one particular problem, right? The particular problem that's being addressed is that these folks, these Gnostics, they did not believe that Jesus was human, right? They didn't believe that Jesus had actually come in the flesh. We may not struggle with that particular belief in our day, right? It might look like, well, we don't believe that Jesus is actually God. Quite the opposite. Or it might look like, I think more appropriately, that we add something else to Jesus, right? To make Jesus more appealing, or there's all kinds of number of things. That Jesus isn't exclusive, right? He's not the exclusive way to heaven. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do to sort of, you know, think about what false teaching and what false prophecy is in our day. One of the problems I think that we're having right now with the American church is that we're conflating politics with Christianity. So you're seeing a lot of mixture on both sides of the aisle, mixture of politics with Christianity. I'm going to go there because I think it's a real problem in the American church right now. We're confused about the clarity of the message of Christ. And so all that to say that there are different teachings, there are different things going on, and we are still commanded to test the spirits. And so one of the things that we have a litmus test is confess that Jesus came in the flesh, or that Jesus is Christ. The second one is all the way down in verse 6. But it talks about who, one of the ways that you will know that these people who have these spirit, this spiritual life is from God, is that they listen, basically, that they listen to other followers of God, that they listen to the church, that they listen to people who are in touch with the Lord. Now, we have to be very clear when putting that in the right perspective. John says throughout his letter, you have the truth. You have the truth. You've been devoted in love. You have the truth. That combination of truth and love. And so John has been saying through several chapters, three chapters now, you have the truth. You know the truth. And so one of the litmus tests is that these false teachers, or excuse me, that these people who are possessing this spirit would listen to the truth. Right, and they would listen to the truth as it's being actually proclaimed and taught by other believers. And so we've probably all known people who don't listen to the truth. Right, they have this sense that they know better. I kind of know God, and they don't really listen to the truth. So those two things I think are really, really important as we move in here. All right, so again, testing the spirits. So, this is where it gets complicated. It's one thing to talk about the Gnostic problem, much of which I have not seen in 20 years of ministry. I haven't seen really common, right, in my experience, right, or people will come to me and say, you know, Jesus did not come in the flesh. There are some people who definitely believe that. But I've seen other teachings and things that have happened. And so on the one hand, there are people, I mean, we can clearly see from this that the Gnostics, that they were wolves, right? I'm going to kind of compare here sheep and wolves, all right? So we have wolves who, I was asking Amos just to really help me simplify this yesterday. I said, Amos, what's the difference between a sheep and a wolf? And he said, wolves howl and they kill. Oh, fair enough. Thank you for answering the question in my sermon. But it was really, really helpful, actually, to hear him say that. You know, because that is a distinguishing factor, that wolves they have an ambition, right? And that ambition is to hurt or to bring harm. And so there's definitely wolves, right, who are going about this in this passage. And I think this is one of the trickier parts, is that sometimes, you know, and you've heard this said, right? Sometimes wolves are kind of dressed up like sheep, right? And they kind of appear, and they might even look like a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? You've probably heard that phrase before. And so how do you know the difference? And I think we have to be very careful here, because I've seen churches kind of call people like a wolf. They're like, oh, that person's a wolf, and they're trying to lead everybody astray. But what's happened is they're a sheep that has gotten beaten up, and they're kind of like, I would say that they're like a rebellious sheep in some ways, right? And sometimes there's just sheep that just need some correction, right? I think there's a difference, right, between a sheep who genuinely does love the Lord, right? And genuinely, quote unquote, saved, and trying, you know, they're trying to follow the Lord, but they're hurt, and we've seen this happen, right? I've been that person. I'm sure that you've been that person. Something happens in our life, and somehow you kind of go renegade or something as a sheep. You don't intend to, but because of your hurt and because of things and because of personality and all kinds of things, you can tend to go that way. So I think one of the things I would like to bring up in just a more pastoral way this morning is that there is a difference between a wolf and a sheep, and even a hurt sheep and a wolf. And so I don't think that I don't think we're going to want to go around just like chastising every single person, you know, that says something because they're hurt or because they watched too much CNN or Fox that week or whatever, right? So we just might need to bring some correction. You notice how I pushed, kind of knocked both people down at once, wasn't that? That was clever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, just complimenting myself. Okay, so all that to say that there are kind of renegade sheep. So I want to make that distinction. Another thing that I think is very practical for us is this particular piece of scripture is even more challenging for us in terms of testing the spirits, because we're the kind of church who really wants to flow in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? We are the kind of church that opens ourselves up to all kinds of stuff happening. Everybody gets to play, and we do, right? Everybody gets to play is wonderful when it works, but when it doesn't work and there's like, you know, there's error, there's, you know, I mean, we encourage people to grab the mic and speak, right? And that does open ourselves up for a potential, well, first of all, I want to just say it like this. It opens ourselves up for amazing, amazing, amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because everybody does get to play, and we're actually obeying Scripture. It's awesome. I mean, I came into the Vineyard later in my life, and I have never seen anything like it in like 17 or so years of ministry. I have been part of churches where 20-30% of people do the ministry, or less. You know, and I think that's very common throughout the body of Christ. So props to the Vineyard. I'm not much of a company man, but props to the Vineyard. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that we have that as our ethos. And so all that to say, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I want to encourage us all that we continue to step out in faith and do those things. But I think one of the challenges with it is that, you know, it can go sideways, right? There can be someone, you know, not everyone who says something is from the Lord is always from the Lord. Right, it might be from something they read, or might be something interesting, and that's okay. But then it can get kind of mixed up with our own emotion, right? It can get mixed up with our own bias. It can get mixed up with our own agenda, and then we have a problem. So then, what do we do at that point, right? Because we are commanded. I know I'm harping on this, but this is so critical. But what does it mean then to test the spirit in that situation? You know, does Pastor John, does he come up and, you know, when, who do I want to pick on? Charity. Let's pick on Charity since she's not here. So when Charity is like just off, that'd be really awkward as my wife. How do you do, right? But let's just say she says something and it's just, wow, that's it started off good, but about like 2 minutes in, wow, it's going really sideways. And you can, you know, there's people in the audience, and they're like covering their eyes, like, I don't know if this is from God actually, and I've seen this happen, and a lot of times what happens is absolutely nothing. And you're like, well, that went sideways, and so that's the end of that, and we'll come back next week, and hopefully that doesn't happen again. I'm just speaking real, guys, okay? And I don't know that that's the best philosophy. And contrary to that, I don't know it's the best philosophy for every time that somebody is going off a little bit, that Pastor John comes up and grabs the mic and be like, well, can you please sit down? You know, you're done. I don't know that that's the best philosophy either. And so I'm kind of stuck here as I'm wrestling with this scripture this week. So here's a couple things that I will just add. I'll just add pastorally. Is that okay? Trying my best. And honestly, I want to pray right now because I really want some sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I've been really wrestling with this week. So Holy Spirit, in these next moments, as I give some counsel and advice that's, it is from Scripture, but it's also from experience. God, shut my mouth to only say the things that need to be said. In Christ's name, amen. So I think one of the challenges, especially when it's like, just a sheep that is, gone off just a little bit. I think one of the things that I have tried to do as a pastor, and this is one of the values that we have as a church and having a leadership team. I don't know that I would ever just go to someone, in our church here who has gone off just a little bit without first going to our pastoral leadership team and say, hey, did that hit you like it hit me? what was that a little bit kind of off or was it not? And I'm going to listen, right? We're going to listen. This is the body of believers, right? This is a leadership team that we're the elders, right? Coming together. And so I think, first of all, that's one thing that we can do. Is this something that it just hit me wrong because I don't agree? Or is it clearly something that is off a little bit? So I think that's one thing that we can do. And then I think another thing that can happen is just a conversation, right? Like, hey, when you were sharing this, it was like 87%. I don't know why 87, but 87% good. But there were 13% there. I would not say this like this. I'm just trying to keep you guys awake, okay? But like 13%. What did you mean by that? Because I think that actually hit several of us wrong. Let's think about that. Okay, I think that can happen. Now, here's the thing. This is what happens. There can be several responses, but I'm going to name two responses that can happen. One response could be from that person that could be like, oh man, wow, no, that's not what I wanted at all. Right? That's not what I intended at all. And man, I apologize if that's the way that came across. Like, I've been that person. Oh, do I need to address the church? Do I need to write a letter? I'm like, crap, it's that moment. You just didn't realize, right? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because that means you're listening, right? Listen and confess. You're listening. That's a sign that you're on the right track. Another thing that could happen is that renegade sheep, in that moment, I'm not saying they're always renegade, but they just went renegade for a second, right? So that renegade sheep can be like, how dare you? How dare you question the authority of God? How dare you quench the Holy Spirit? And they get like super defensive, right? And I mean, you're coming to them as leaders or you're coming to them as a body of Christ saying, hey, we want the truth. We're actually trying to obey Scripture, right? To do what God asks us told us to do, to test the spirits. And this was, one of the ways, I wouldn't say all that, but like, that's going through your head, right? You're trying to do all those things. And then when you respond with just such almost like animosity or defensiveness, I think it's pretty telling about where you might be at that moment, right? The leaders could be wrong, right? That's an option. It's not easy. Right, the leaders could be wrong, and you as the sheep who gives a prophetic message that people just don't want to hear, you could be right. Welcome to being a prophet. I'm serious. I mean, I have the prophetic gift, and I cannot tell you, I've had at least 5 times over the years where I have been accused of being just a terrible person because of a prophecy that I've delivered. Man, I was just speaking the truth as the Lord gave it to me. So these are hard things. I want us to understand the body of believers is going to be very, very important to testing the spirits. And so I don't want to scare you guys. Like, I don't think I've had hardly any time since we've been here where I've just been like, oh no, I need to sit that person down and talk to them. It's not like that. But if we're going to obey Scripture, we have to understand that this is going to happen from time to time. We're a church who opens ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, all kinds of awesome things can take place and all kinds of things can take place. And so let's just be mindful of that. So, does that make sense? Yeah, not easy. So another thing that is in this passage, if we can kind of back up, it says the greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? And so that is quoted a lot, right? That's a really interesting scripture. You know, it's often quoted like, I can do anything. And that is true. We can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. But really in the context, it's in the context of this error versus truth that we read about in verse 6, right? And so you have these people, these false teachers who have thwarted things, who have disturbed and distracted and all of that, right? And not just distracted, but in some ways they've deceived. And there's a verse here that says, greater is he that is in you, right? The Holy Spirit that is in you, God who is in you, is greater than he that is in the world, meaning that false spirit, right? I mean, for everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit, right? We see that throughout people's lives. We see that throughout Scripture. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have overcome the false teachers, but not in this like sort of militant, you know, I pushed you down and you're stupid sort of way. But we have overcome in a way that we serve the God who's on top, right? We serve the God who is true. We read in Ephesians, right, that God has trampled all things under his feet. We belong to that God, right? And so we can have confidence when these things take place. Now, did I say it was relationally easy? No. I never, ever, ever said that this morning. It's not always relationally easy for these things to be carried out, because what happens is we get all of our stuff and our background and our emotions and everything all tied up in there. But man, that's why it's so important, guys, that we can be, as a church, that we can be very encouraging to each other and honest with each other. If we're encouraging without honesty, I just wonder if that's real encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so let's get better at that, right? Let's improve in that. And I'm talking to myself. As you know, I'm a pretty straight shooter. Oh, guys, I hate conflict. I hate it. It's just like, can I avoid this at all costs? That would be awesome. I'm just speaking, you know, from my heart here. But at the same time, I want to be a man of the truth who tests the spirits. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So again, we have this command to both confess, right, that Jesus is Lord, right, and then we... Are they listening? Are we listening to the Spirit? And then we have the complication, right, of when things might happen, particularly in a more charismatic sort of style of church, where there's multiple things being said, but that's why we have the Council of Believers. And one thing I would just add before I close here is this is not the end all of how we deal with everything that happens in a... in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? We have many other parts of Scripture, right, that gives us, that shed light onto some of this, right? This is talking about a specific Gnostic problem, right, that was taking place in the book of 1 John, right? But we have other problems that we can read about in Corinthians, for example, right? We have other problems that we can read about, in the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. You know, they're different issues, and they have kind of different... advice, right, that the writers of the Scriptures give. So let's not say, I'm going to walk up to the person, as long as they confess that Jesus is Lord and they mean it sincerely, ta-da, we're okay. No, that's not the best formula, right? I don't have time to go into all of kind of the nuances, but I really do encourage you guys to get familiar with the Scriptures, get familiar with the kind of problems. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written to confront false teaching. Two-thirds. Guys, and so if we can begin to read our Scripture that way, knowing that, like, hey, if it was a problem then, we're probably going to have some problems today. And again, I'm not trying to frighten us by talking so much about that, but that is the passage that we are in. All right, so I would just as I close, are we sort of clear? Confession, and then we have listening. Learning too, but we have listening, and then we have complications, right? We have complications. We have the body of believers. Guys, I can't overstress the community of believers. I can't overstress that. I have been part of churches. You have been part of churches where there's been like a really high-powered leader, and it's not. Sometimes it's not the pastor. Sometimes it's somebody else. And I was talking to my dad about this on the phone last night. I was talking about the message today. And he said, you know, John, he said, sometimes people, a leader is just so darn charismatic that it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. And people don't even care to test the spirits because they're just following that charismatic leader. May we not be that kind of church. May we be the kind of church that has our hands in the pile together, that we're listening, right? That we're learning together, that we're confessing together. And so let's do it, right? And ultimately, guys, the cool thing is it's not like we're just like, oh no, something bad's going to happen. But when there's freedom of the Holy Spirit, right? And when there's liberty and we know that we're seeking after the truth, it's the most wonderful thing in the world, right? You guys have seen this, right? When the Holy Spirit is active and moving in our midst. I mean, we're called liberty for a reason, right? I mean, we want that freedom of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord has given me a tongue of a disciple that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the Lord. He awakens me morning by morning and awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. So, Lord, we say thank you for giving us the tongue of a disciple. And may we wake up morning each morning and listen. And then be ready, as Scott said, to sustain a weary one with the word. Give us those words, Lord. We pray.
Yeah, so just as we close, you know, I shared a lot of thoughts that were more particular to our context, but I mean clearly as we see these scriptures, I mean we want to be, you know, free in the Holy Spirit. And we want to be, you know, walking in step with him. And there will be time, there could be a time, right, when there's not just like a renegade sheep, but there actually is a wolf. And that will not be confronted in the way that I described, right? It would be confronted in a much more direct way, right? Because they're trying to harm us. And fortunately, in these years of ministry, I haven't had a whole lot of times where I've had to do that, but I have. And man, yeah, you're talking about the council of leadership was really important in those circumstances. So I know it's a serious matter, and I do want us to just be thinking of those things, that it's we want to uphold the truth, right? We want to uphold the truth. And at the same time, we want to be, you know, free in the Holy Spirit. And let's remember, just as I close here, let's remember what we've been learning, you know, throughout these scriptures, right? When we're confronting false teaching and we're upholding the truth, we're not doing that disconnected from relationship. We're not doing that disconnected from love, right? That is such a theme throughout these verses, right? How can you know the love of the Father? You know, how can you know that God is even in you if you don't have love, right? And so we want to do that. But sometimes the most loving thing we can do is to tell the truth and to be honest. And I'm going to pray as we close. Oh God, we do want to be a church, a body of believers who upholds the truth, who loves, who encourages. So Lord, would you give us wisdom as leadership, as people who are joined in ministry together. God, give us wisdom, oh Lord. We continually want to see this place be a place where truly everyone plays and everyone participates. Lord, when there are things that go sideways, oh Lord, give us wisdom. Give us grace, oh Lord. Give us grace, oh Lord. Lord, I just confess as the pastor here, Lord, I confess, God, that this is not easy and I don't know what to do. Sometimes. Lord, I confess that, Lord, it's hard to know when to say something and when not to say something at times. And so I just ask for me as a leader, and there are other leaders here, that you would help us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your grace, that we don't have to perform, that we don't have to get things right every single time. But somehow in your grace, Lord, you... You enable us in our weaknesses. So help us as a church to minister from that place, from a place of weakness, from a place of vulnerability and brokenness. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.